morning. I greet you again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with the words that we find in 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I too extend a hearty welcome to all of you who have come, whether you are here on a regular basis or whether you are a visitor. May God's blessings flow to each one of you for being here this morning. I have entitled my message this morning, Peace Through the Power of God. King David said in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11 and 12, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Everything is in the Lord's hands. The prophet Nahum wrote in Nahum 1, verse 2, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth, and is furious, and the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, and of great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, the clouds are the dust of his feet. Nahum reveals to all of us that God does not only have his eyes on individual people, but he also has his eyes on the nations. Nahum says God is a jealous God. You know, often we might find that hard to understand. But God's jealousy is linked with his love for you and me. God knows that loyalty to any other source other than God alone will only take away from that which is best for us. Friends, we do well to consider the character of our God. All of us need to understand that we cannot fight against God or the truth of God's word and still have peace in our hearts. In verse 2, the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. Yes, the Lord is much more patient than we as people are. It says he is slow to anger. And sometimes we say that criminals get away with everything nowadays. But the scripture assures us that God will not at all acquit the wicked. Every sin that is ever committed will be paid for, either in eternal hell or at the cross of Jesus. God does not overlook or ever forget unrighteousness until it is paid for. Nahum says that the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. To us, these are events where the power is uncontrollable, but not for our God. He is all powerful and he is in control of everything that happens in the world, both in our personal lives. And he is also in control of the nations. Turn with me this morning to our text from Judges chapter 6. I will read first of all the first 10 verses, and then later we'll go a little further. Judges chapter 6. Starting from verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their children and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice thus far. Let us unite in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning. We come to you as a God that is all-powerful, all-seeing, and all-knowing. There is nothing too hard for you. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that you have given us so that we can understand your character, who you are, and what your desire is for our lives. And so, Lord, as we look into the scriptures this morning, we pray that you would give revelation and insight as to the meaning of this portion of scripture. Lord, may it serve to draw us closer to you for the furtherance of your kingdom and for your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Verse 1 says that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. The children of Israel, these were people that God loved, and he had bestowed much favor on them. He brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. We see through the scripture that the heart of sinful man is so prone to do evil. Friends, our sinfulness and our weak human nature, it seems that we so easily are lured away from the one and only true God. We see that in the children of Israel again and again. Let me read a few more verses out of the book of Judges. There are many other places that we can find this. But look at Judges chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines, and unto the hands of the children of Ammon. Turn to chapter 13, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So we read again and again how the children of Israel fell back and served that which God had called them not to serve. These verses tell us that the eyes of the Lord were on the children of Israel. And in Romans 15, verse 4, Paul tells us, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. There are two things that we can learn from this portion of Scripture. The first one is that God's eyes are continually on our lives and He knows our hearts. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Job says in Job 34, verse 21, for His eyes are upon the ways of men, and He sees all His goings. The second thing we can learn from this portion of Scripture is that there is always consequences when we turn away from serving the one and only true God. Our text says, the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. They made themselves hiding places. Thinking back, the children of Israel had been freed from bondage, but were now somewhat imprisoned, and they hid themselves in the dens and in the caves. There was a time when God was with Israel, and they had warred against the Midianites and prevailed. We find that in Numbers chapter 13, verse 7. But now, because of Israel's falling away from God, Midian prevailed. The ungodliness of Israel led to poverty. When God was with them, they reaped where others had sown. Now others reaped where they had sown. The Midianites came as grasshoppers for multitude. They came right through the land unto Gaza with cattle and tents and camels. And they left no sustenance for Israel, not even their sheep or their oxen. What they couldn't take with them, they destroyed and left nothing for Israel. 7 years of oppression, probably worse, a little bit worse each year. God worked all of this through the Midianites for one reason. And we find that reason in verse 6. It says, because of the Midianites, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. God in His wisdom saw fit for Israel to go through a trial. And we can learn from this. Every trial in the lives of God's people is for the purpose of drawing us closer to God. This is actually an example of God's grace and mercy upon Israel. Where do you think Israel would be or would have been if God had not oppressed them? And so when we go through tough times, it isn't that the Lord enjoys punishing us, but rather He is working out the best for us in our lives. Proverbs 3, verse 11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction, For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. God loves his people too much to just let them be. He longs to be in relationship with them. And we see his amazing grace and positive response when his children reach out to him. Verse 7 says, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet. And this prophet revealed to them the truth about God and about their own life. I do not know how the prophet got the message across to the people, whether he spake in large assemblies or whether he went from city to city or from tribe to tribe or from cave to cave. We are not told. Neither are we told how long he prophesied to the people. But just like John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for Jesus, so I believe this unnamed prophet was sent to prepare this people. Now I want us to notice the words of the prophet. It wasn't the prophet's own message. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He is only conveying the message that God wants him to speak. Notice also that it says that God sent a prophet. God has the power over his people to send who he sees fit. In Exodus 5, we read that God sent Moses and Aaron to speak to Pharaoh. These men, they were very reluctant. They felt very unqualified. Nevertheless, God used them in their time. In 1 Samuel 3, God called a young lad, Samuel, even before he was recognized as a prophet. He sent him to Eli. God used him to convey his message to Eli. In 2 Samuel 12, God sent Nathan to go to King David and to confront him of this hidden sin in his life. Jonah he sent to Nineveh. Peter he sent to Cornelius. Friends, how gracious is our God unto us? How many people has God sent out to us to convey the message to us? To confront us with the sin in our life? To remind us of what God has done in the past for us? And to call us to repentance of sin and acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and Savior? In my life, I would say God has been rich in his grace and in his mercy in reaching out to me. Many times have I heard his messengers. Friends, there are countries in the world today where there is no prophet. There is no ministers. There is no missionaries. No one to convey God's message. And so I believe we ought to be grateful when God sends a messenger. Friends, we see in this portion of Scripture that the name of the prophet isn't really that important, but the message of God is. This prophet reminds the children of Israel what God has done for them in the past. And I believe it is good for us to go back into the history of God and to look at what God has done for us. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the controlling hand of the Egyptians, out of all that oppressed you. I drove others out before you, and I gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. Meaning, do not worship them. Do not show respect to them. Do not give your sacrifices to them. But you have not obeyed my voice. The cry of the Israelites was against the Midianites, but this prophet revealed to them that the Midianites were not really the problem. It was their own sin that was the problem. Friends, it is our human nature to always blame others for the trials that we go through. But again and again, we see in Scripture that we are to look at our very own relationship with the Lord. Israel was reminded of the love God had shown to them. They were reminded of God's ability to deliver. They were reminded how God provided a good land for them and how he delivered them out of bondage. Friends, I believe all of us have had those reminders that God is able to deliver us out of sin, that he has provided a good land for us in eternity. God has delivered us out of the bondage of Satan. But Israel had forsaken their God. I said, I am the Lord your God, but ye have not obeyed my voice. You know, we are not told whether Israel accepted the prophet's message or whether they repented of their sin. But we have the assurance in God's word that God's word will not come back void, but that it will accomplish that for which it was sent. And I am confident that there was at least a partial repentance in Israel, because God sent an angel from heaven to prepare a deliverer. Look at verse 11 of Judges chapter 6. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O my Lord, O Lord my God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Thus far. As we study this portion of Scripture, it is believed that the angel that came to speak to Gideon was an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in bodily form. Because in verse 14, the Lord looked on him, it says. And in verse 16, it says, the Lord said unto him. Gideon thought this was only a man. Scripture tells us that Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press, an odd place in reality to thresh wheat. But he did it for fear of the Midianites, that he would not be found out. So Gideon knew all about the oppression that Israel was in. And the angel greeted Gideon with the words, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. To Gideon, this was an unreasonable greeting. Gideon did not feel that the Lord was with him. And he said, I am from one of the poorest families, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon answered, If God is with us, then why all this oppression that has fallen upon us? Our fathers told us how God brought them out of Egypt, but now God has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon did not realize that God had not forsaken them, but rather the people had forsaken God. Friends, again, we must realize that just because we go through hard times does not mean that God has forsaken us. Even though we do not feel his presence, he is still there. Verse 14 says, The Lord looked on Gideon and said, Go, in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now, I believe there was power in the look that the Lord gave to Gideon, just like there was power in the look that Jesus gave to Peter when he betrayed him. I believe there was also power in the words, "Go in this thy might." Friends, what was Gideon's might? What is our might? Scripture is clear. Jesus said, "Without me ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. The answer for Gideon's power and might is found in verse 16. It is there for all of us. "The Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." This is the same assurance that God gave to Moses. "Certainly I will be with thee," Exodus 3, verse 12. This is the same assurance that Jesus gives to all believers. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of time," Matthew 28, verse 20. It was the assurance of this that Gideon needed when he said, "Show me a sign." Gideon made a special request for the Lord. "Do not leave me until I bring you a present." Hardly do we find in Scripture that the Lord would tarry at the request of a man. But the Lord did so for Gideon. Gideon prepared meat from a young goat and cakes of flour and broth in a pot. I sometimes wonder how long it took Gideon to do that, or how long did the angel tarry outside. What were the thoughts of Gideon as he was preparing? Did the Lord have patience to wait for him? It says he brought it out to the angel. And the angel said to Gideon, "Take the flesh and the cakes and set them upon a rock and pour out the broth." And in obedience, Gideon did so. Then the angel touched the flesh and the cakes with his staff, and fire came out of the rock and consumed it. And the angel vanished out of his sight. And it was then that Gideon realized this was an angel. And fear came upon him because he had seen God's angel face to face. And God gave Gideon this assurance, "Peace be unto thee, fear not." Verse 24 says that when Gideon realized all that had happened, he built God an altar and he called it Jehovah Shalom, meaning "The Lord is peace." Friends, I believe we do well to meditate on the altar that Gideon built. In this world, we have much distress. There is oppression everywhere, especially for those who have turned away from the Lord and are serving false gods or idols. Friends, God is calling us back to Him. to give him first priorities in our lives. Our only way to true peace is by trusting God for his salvation. You know, there is a parallel between this Old Testament portion of Scripture and the coming of Jesus Christ. God sent a messenger when he sent Jesus. That messenger was John the Baptist. God sent his angel to Joseph and Mary. He prepared one to deliver. In this Old Testament story, it is Gideon. In the New Testament story, it is Jesus. The Scripture says all that God did to deliver us out of the house of bondage. He sent a deliverer. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we bow and at the close of this service, we want to thank you that we can have peace in our hearts with you. Lord, through your almighty power, you have provided everything that we need. You have reminded us of our way back to you. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can have peace in our hearts. You have sent a deliverer, and that deliverer was Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this time that we could have together here this morning. And thank you for the way that your Spirit still speaks to us. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to bring back the remembrance of your word to us again and again, that you would keep us from falling, and that you would present us faultless before the presence of our God when he comes again. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you have done. May your name be uplifted both now and in all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Victory in Jesus. What will give us the victory over the Midianites? It is through the deliverer that God has sent, which is Jesus. It is through him and the power that he has so that we could have peace in our lives. I want to thank all of you who have come this morning. It is my prayer that the Lord will have encouraged you in your walk of faith. It was mentioned that there was a Thanksgiving lunch here today, and you are all invited to stay. And I was supposed to mention that we will, when we exit the church, we will go into the dining hall and everybody will take a seat. And then we will have table grace in the dining hall. So as soon as you are dismissed, you can make your way into the dining hall and we'll sit by the tables and then we'll have table grace. Shall we just bow for a closing benediction? Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. You may depart, and may God's peace go with you. Thank you.